Sessions to Voices of the Sacred Feminine, whether you're across town or across the globe. And I'd like to welcome you to tonight's special event, another episode of our Food for Thought series. And tonight's topic is Spiritual Morality of Caring Economics versus Separation of Church and State. So thank you for tuning in tonight while I fill you in on some food for thought that was a result of a presentation I made recently as part of a Rhianne Eisler Center for Partnership Studies class on caring economics that I had been enrolled in. The subject came up that feminists have often divorced their social justice work from religion or spirituality. Well, myself, I believe in using critical thinking to reconcile one's spirituality and politics. Some think the two do not have to be in sync, and when one does bring religion into lawmaking and policy, then we perhaps are on a slippery slope toward violating the sanctity of the separation of church and state protections provided by the Constitution. So, listen in. And you decide, and I am happy to hear your comments after you've heard the show. So, here goes. Admittedly, you know, my approach to caring economics and partnership might be unique or in the minority over at the Center for Partnership Studies. I don't really know, to tell you the truth, but it comes integrated with the added dimensions of sacred feminine liberation theology, otherwise known as goddess spirituality, manifested as deity, archetype, or ideal. And since I've embraced Rhianne Eisler's partnership work many years ago and incorporated it within my spiritual teachings, I've been surprised no one in all these years has suggested it might be some violation of that sometimes flimsy wall between church and state. And at my practicum presentation that students have to do for the class they're taking, the subject was gently broached. An attendee lamenting the fact feminists more often seem to have separated their political beliefs and work for social transformation from spirituality, asked me if I ever felt uncomfortable publicly connecting the dots between spirituality and politics, feminism, and caring economics. Well, until now, when I was asked that question, one of the most awkward questions I'd fielded up until then was, "Who are you to speak for Goddess?" To which I gently replied, "Have you questioned the patriarchs who for thousands of years have not hesitated to speak of, shall we say, their own divine inspiration or to speak for God?" Well, that sort of stopped the inquirer in their tracks. And I bring that up, and I say that because of the obvious double standard. Is anyone holding the feet of primarily white Christian men to the fire as they pass legislation based on their religion that stifles the constitutional rights of women to control their own reproduction? Or tells people who they can love and marry, or, you know, their religion that has caused so many to feel they were abominations for not conforming? Well, sacred feminine liberation theology, on the other hand, is quite the opposite. It's life-affirming, and it embraces the values of freedom and partnership, not oppression and domination. And unlike the fundamentalist Abrahamic religions, it's not used as a means to control or have power over the masses. Goddess spirituality suggests and encourages equality, justice, wholeness, and interconnection. Separation of church and state laws would seem more necessary to protect us from zealots who would impose religious conformity, not a spirituality of liberation. That said, I'll admit it could be a slippery slope. Who's to say one day there won't be a royal priestess from somewhere who will tell men they must please their wives in bed or burn in the fires of the Hawaiian volcano goddess Pele? Or perhaps risk some sort of community shaming. Maybe they'll be forced to mutilate their genitals to control their roaming manhood. Okay, all kidding aside about the separation of church and state, let me share a quote of someone I admire, the scholar Gus de Zarega, who said, "A pagan can no more be a Republican than a Jew can be a Nazi." Well, I love that quote because I've run into many people who have not done the critical thinking to reconcile their spirituality and politics. They're all over the place, not perhaps realizing how at odds the two might be. I've met feminists who believe because they've been oppressed, they're entitled to be the oppressor now and discriminate according to gender. Or so-called environmentalists or earth-based spirituality practitioners who vote for politicians who sell out Mother Earth to multinational corporations. Or support women and men who feel entitled to, shall we say, put baby in the corner and prefer her barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. To me, laws and government budgets and politics reflect the morality of our society, and our morality should be in sync with our spirituality or religion. Otherwise, there's a cognitive disconnect. If we have spent our adult feminist lives, men and women, trying to dissolve the suffering brought on by marginalization or subjugation or opposing the domination and patriarchal values of the status quo or establishment, I believe goddess advocates are obligated to consider if they should be using their sacred roar to help rebirth a world where caring economics, equality, peace, and partnership are valued as our real wealth and where the common good and win-win outcomes are always the goal. I hope to see the day humans will have nothing to fear from another's traditions, religion, politics, or economic values, but obviously we're not there yet. So I support the separation of church and state, but I gotta tell you, I don't lose any sleep worrying if I'm violating if I'm in violation of the First Amendment of the Constitution because I reconcile my spiritual liberation theology with my caring politics and suggest my students do the same. So, maybe some questions to ponder. Have you noticed the double standard out there, how certain religions can get away with talking politics from the pulpit and not risk their tax-exempt status, but others can't get away with that? I remember when a progressive Christian church in the L.A. area got in trouble for talking peace and not war from the pulpit. But right-wing churches in red states across the country who were backing the Iraq war, nobody was coming after them because they were violating their nonprofit laws. Do you think churches should have tax-exempt status if they interfere in or try to influence politics? Or maybe they could be means-tested before getting or keeping a tax-exempt status? Let's say, for instance, the Vatican, with all its wealth, or any other denomination that's mega-wealthy, should they continue to receive tax-exempt status? Or maybe only if they are just a poor upstart. You know, maybe food for thought. And did you know the NFL is also tax exempt? That's pretty crazy. We often hear progressive Christians say, "What would Jesus do?" To shame lawmakers into having some mercy or empathy as they wield their power and pass laws. Is that a violation of the separation between church and state? Or what about when lawmakers try to pass laws that discriminate or prevent women from having birth control paid for because it's part of their religious beliefs? Why are they allowed to do that? Isn't that a violation of church and state provisions in the Constitution? Have you thought about if you think it's important to reconcile your spiritual beliefs in your politics? Or your political and spiritual beliefs compatible? Just some food for thought. Write me and let me know if you have any comments you'd like to share. I really would like to hear you. And because we have a little bit of time, and I don't often get a chance to share this with you, we always seem to run out of time on our regular shows, I thought I would just share two outtakes from the important film Femme, Women Healing the World. I was honored to be part of that film, produced by Emmanuel Etier of Wonderland Entertainment and actress Sharon Stone. I was in it alongside many of my mentors, like Rhianne Eisler and Jean Shinoda Bolen, Jean Houston, a lot of other wonderful women whose wisdom I've learned so much from. So in the film, the producer was courageous enough to actually talk about religion and the effect it has on our culture. And he actually went back to the days of Goddess. And I was one of the ones that actually sort of carried the message of Goddess, talking about how Goddess spirituality is about the we and the us, not the I and the me. So for your listening pleasure, I will play two outtakes, some of the things I said that got left on the cutting room floor because there were so many voices in the film. So here goes. It might take a minute to start, but let's try to get that going right now. Here's number one.
Well, yeah, I've had a one-sided view of the divine, and the reason we've had a one-sided view of the divine is because the myths that our society lives by are the myths that only speak about a male god, when, in fact, a goddess has been around for 30 or 40,000 years. We can look to the artifacts. We can look to the archaeological sites. We can look to the textiles. We can look to the myths. But, you know, because religion is about power and politics, the sacred feminine has sort of been swept beneath the sands of time. And the mythology of goddess has been obscured purposefully because this is all about uplifting the patriarchy as opposed to having a balanced society where you have the attributes of the feminine and the masculine in control in society. So when you consider that one person's myth is another person's religion, and when that myth is dominated by a male god, well, then you have male leadership that predominates in society. So as a result, women have been subjugated, and goddesses become our role models. They become our archetypes. So when we only have a male god that is at the center of society, well, that sets the male gender up to be the leader of the society, and that then subjugates women to sort of a second-class supporting role rather than a partnership, rather than an equal role where they are, in a sense, you know, looking over humankind together, or men and women, or leading and ruling together. Well, I think we have to really give ourselves permission to rethink everything. We have to rethink our religion. We have to rethink our politics. You know, very long ago, you know, things shifted away from the idea of us valuing nature. And let's face it, you know, goddess is nature. And as a result of us being told that nature is evil, you know, women and their bodies and sexuality, that's all become a taboo subject rather than something sacred like it used to be. We have to rethink that. We have to, you know, rethink what we value in the world. Are we going to value a big bank account, or are we going to value what we contribute to society, how we are in service to each other? And I think, you know, with patriarchy and capitalism, it's all about competition. And that means there has to be winners and losers. But if we look for ways to collaborate, if we look for ways to be in partnership with one another, whether it's your friend or whether it's a corporation or whether it's another country, the world would be a much more uplifted and evolved place, less likely to end in war, less likely to end in, one country or corporation, you know, being dominated by another and the suffering that results from that. We've seen so much militarism, colonialism, all of these isms, the sexism, the homophobia, all of these different things that, that start with religion and move through politics, move through traditions, move through society and shape how we do things. We have to have the courage to shed light on how this all began, how what was normal got turned on its head, and sort of right things so that, we're in a place of balance. It used to be the ancient Egyptians talked to us about, they were so afraid of things being out of balance because once things went out of balance, we would have chaos. Well, the world is out of balance. It started with a gender imbalance where it was the masculine over the feminine, and we've just had an imbalance, throughout history, whether it be one country in power over another, or the rich over the poor, or whites dominating blacks. There's always this dominator model where, someone's always trying to climb on somebody else's shoulders to get ahead. Well, we need to think more about level playing fields. We need to think more about an egalitarian society where there's equality, where there's justice, where there's truth, where there's freedom. And actually, there are goddesses in their mythology that help us lead the way, that provide a template for us to embrace these sort of ideals in society.